Hallelujah. Okay, so today we launch our Ukraine aid and support. I just want to read a couple of scriptures before I do that. We're going to, towards the end of the service, we're going to receive a special offering for our brethren, our brothers and sisters in the nation of Ukraine. We are partnering with three reputable organizations that are actually helping the Ukrainians with humanitarian resources. The first one, KCM, is actively working to help resettle some Ukrainian Jews who want to go back to Israel. They're helping to settle them. They are paying everything. They've done it for a few years, and they are actually enlarging and increasing what they are doing. And we're going to partner with KCM in that regard. KCM is our Kenneth Copeland Ministries, KCM. We're also partnering with university. It's called Operation Blessing out of Regent University. It's a Christian organization. They are operating around the border between Ukraine and Poland and in other places and helping to provide humanitarian help to a lot of these people who just need so much. And they've done an awesome job for so many years in this humanitarian endeavor, and we're going to partner with them. Actually, I had announced three, and that's what we're going to stick with, but you know, the Lord will give us another opportunity in the future to partner with Samaritan Post, because they are also doing a great job in that regard. And then the last organization I told you is a secular organization, actually. It's run by Sean Penn. Some of you may know Sean Penn from Hollywood. But they're right there in the trenches where a lot of these things are going on. And they have a solid team of people doing a solid work, helping people, helping the poor, helping the broken, the afflicted. And even though they're a secular organization, we believe in what they're doing. And we're going to partner with them. Amen. So whatever we receive in this service, under this Ukraine aid and support, we're going to split it amongst those three organizations. And then once every month, at the end of every, you know, this is open, it's open-ended. It's open-ended for as long as the conflict is ongoing. We don't close it down until the conflict ends. So every month, so, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, there's no pressure, right? There's no pressure. We don't ever pressurize anybody for anything. Not here in this ministry. Whatever it is the Lord puts in your heart, we'll gather it all together and we'll send it once every month. So today, this week, we will put it all together for this month, send it out. Every month, so at the end of sometime in May, we'll put together everything we have in May, we'll send it out. In June, for as long as the conflict is ongoing. Amen? Amen. But we're gonna play our part. In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says here, I'm going into my message. I don't want to go into that message yet. Isaiah 58. The Bible says here, he said, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Isn't this what I'm looking for you to do? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. To break every yoke. Isn't that what I'm looking for you to do? To deal your bread to the hungry. That you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see the naked, that you cover him. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Isn't that what I'm looking for you to do? Yes, I love that you pray. Yes, I love that you believe. Yes, I love that you do all these good things. But this is a lot of what I want you to do. I don't want you to see the disadvantaged people and to see the broken and the oppressed and to turn away because it doesn't touch you physically. I want you to take it on as though you were going through it with them. Amen. That's you touch the heart of God like that. I've taught a lot on prayer. And one of the things over the years, I haven't done too much of teaching on prayer this year, but, you know, especially last year, we devoted a lot of time to teaching on prayer. But one of the things I found out about prayer, this is one of the reasons why I fully expect every prayer I pray to be answered. I never have any doubt. As long as it depends on God, and as long as it depends on me, I fully expect all my prayers to be answered. I don't pray and not expect answer. I don't pray and not expect. Based on the word of God, and based on my stepping out in line with what he has spoken, I fully expect. Somebody say, oh, but that's what you have is really, if you don't expect your prayers to be answered when you pray, you have religion. And the divine reality of the resurrection is the opposite of religion. Religion is an appearance. You have something that looks like the real, but it's not real. You have the words. You go to the places where they go. You do the things where they, what they do, the things that everybody, but you don't have the real deal. That's religion. And the divine reality of the resurrection delivers you completely from religion. Amen. I fully expect our prayers to be answered. Now, let me tell you one of the reasons why. Because one of the keys that unlocks the heart of God to pour out to man is that you take on the passion of God. When you find something is a passion for the Lord, immediately identify with it. Make it your passion. Whatever moves the heart of God, immediately let it move you. Don't disconnect from it. You know, some people will pray hard. They will pray like fire, like brimstone, if it touches them. If it's their child, on the way to the emergency, you see them, oh Lord, my God, oh God, my Lord, oh Lord, my God, oh God, my Lord, oh Lord, my God, oh God, my Lord. They will pray, even after you've prayed for them, they will still keep on praying, they will still, because it touches them. Nothing wrong with that, that's your baby. But then if it's another person's baby, oh, really? On the way to the emergency, the Lord will be merciful to you. It is well, we thank you. You know that language. It is well, oh. It is well with you. Don't touch us. So when we are like that, if we are like that, don't expect many answers to your prayers. Do not expect many answers to your prayers if you are like that. But if you are like this, where it touches, once it touches the heart of God, it touches you. Ah, that's it. The Bible says even before you ask, he will answer you. Even before you ask. So this is the heart of God. He says, then it says in verse 8, then your light will break forth as the morning, your health shall spring forth speedily, your righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, your rear reward. Then you will call upon the Lord. That's what I was just saying. See that here? In verse 9, do you see that in verse 9? I tell you, God is my witness, I hadn't read that verse before I preached to you what I preached to you just now. I had not read that verse. I wanted to read this scripture, and actually I wanted to have a scripture basis for what we're doing with Ukraine, and I got that scripture as the service was ongoing. But I hadn't, of course we know these scriptures, but I hadn't really set my eyes on this verse here. He said, then you will call, and what will happen? The Lord will answer. You will cry, and then what will he say? Here I am. Right, why? See, because you took on what God was passionate about. Immediately you put God at your service. Immediately. You call, he will answer. Is that a guarantee? I will answer. I will answer. Glory to God. And then he says there in verse 10, if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in obscurity and your darkness as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. I love that. Sometimes you don't even have to pray for provision. Sometimes you don't even have to pray for prosperity. Now there are people doing 10 steps to prosperity. Nothing wrong with that. It's good. Learning. But one of the keys to prospering in God, to having your needs met. I mean, God will meet your need just like that. I mean, naturally. You will not be sweating every day trying to work formula. And let me tell you, the prosperity is one that will last all your life. It's not one that will be cut short when you stop working. Some people have prosperity as long as they are working with Chase Bank, as long as they are working with university hospitals, they have prosperity. But the moment they stop working with those organizations, prosperity dries up. That is not the prosperity of God. The prosperity of God will go on forever, long past you. Your children after you will become prosperous because it is by covenant. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It is by covenant. Say the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. He will make fat your bones and you will be like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Your waters will not fail. I say your waters will not fail in the name of Jesus. So this is what we want to do. And they shall be called, they that be of you shall build the old waste places. They will raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So what we want to do is we want to do this. You can go meditate that scripture later on so we can have a short message, Resurrection Day message here. I don't want to take too much time doing this. Excuse me. But this is what we seek to do. We want to be in that position where the Lord can use us. Amen. Somebody said, but you know, they need billions of dollars. I mean, maybe what we put together at the end of the day, maybe a few thousand dollars, maybe even less, who knows, right? It doesn't matter. Didn't you read what Jesus said about the widow who, when everybody was putting, but the widow, she had just one mite. That's what she had. It's not that she had a lot, but she only put one mite. That's the way many believers are. They have a lot, but they only put one mite. Then they say, it's my widow's mite. That's not widow's mite. that's not widow's mite. That's a lie. You are just lying to yourself. It's not widow's mite. Because they have a lot, but they hide it. They put it, hide, they hide, keep it. But they say, this is my, the Lord blesses my, he won't bless your widow's mite. That's not your widow's mite. Because your widow's mite is in your account, but you are hiding it. And God can see beyond what others, Jesus saw. What Jesus saw, he knew. How did he know all those people that were giving a little? Because he knew what they had. How did he know the widow was giving everything? Did the widow stand in front of the church and say, hello, this is everything I have? Is that what happened? No. Jesus just told his disciples, that's everything she had. How did he know? He saw it's at her bank account. So, how did I get into that? Help me, Holy Spirit. I think what's happening, I'm just excited about the resurrection. That's it. I mean, I just think, where would our lives be without Jesus, right? Well, what I was saying was, somebody could say, oh, it's very little compared to what they need. God is not looking at your seed based on the need that exists. God is looking at your seed based on the resources you have. God is not looking at your seed based on the need that exists. God is looking at your seed based on the resources you have. Because God is the one who meets the need. He just needs agents. He needs vessels. Somebody lift up your hand and say, thank you, Lord, for my five loaves and my two fish. Was five loaves and two fish, was it enough to feed 5,000 people? Was it enough to feed 5,000 people? But it was more than enough eventually. Why? Because God just needs a vessel. God just needs a vessel. That little that we do, whether it's service, whether it's time, whether it's energy, whether it's giving, whether it's participating, just that little. No human being can do everything. Didn't you hear me say that at the beginning of this service?
God just needs the little that we have, but give out of that little. Don't keep much in your bank, but say, God sees my, is my widow's mite. No. Give the one you have. Because the one you have is what God will bless. He will multiply it to you. So that's what we're doing. We're playing our role. So at the end of the service, when I finish ministering this short message, I'm going to have us give to this Ukraine aid and support. Could I please have that one, just one offering envelope, please? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, all right. Thanks. So, you know, we have these new offering envelopes. So when you just write there where it says special offering in brackets, please specify. I'm talking to those of you who are in-house right here. Just write, specify there, Ukraine. Just do Ukraine on that line where it says please specify. If you are giving online electronically, just memo Ukraine so we know what it is for. Amen. And then that way we get to apply it. Sorry, I'm giving you exercise this morning. Hallelujah. All right. So that's what we're doing. Let's go into the Word of God. Somebody say, thank God for the resurrection. Woo! Somebody say, I'm so thankful for the resurrection. Say it out loud. Say, I'm thankful for the resurrection. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. It says from verse 1. This was our scripture reading, which Pastor Tino read earlier. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Oh, Jesus. Don't you know, this is the question that all humanity is asking today. When our hope is trapped on the other side of the grave, we know it exists, but we don't have it. When the help we need is blocked and shuttered away from us, and we can't access it. When the deliverance and the healing that we so desperately need, we know it's been promised to us by God, and yet it seems locked away on the other side of this grave. The Bible says, and it was a great stone. So it was no ordinary stone. It says the stone was very great. That's verse 4. But look at verse 3. Who shall roll us away the stone? Who shall grant us access to abundant life? Who shall grant us access to the peace we desperately crave? Who shall roll us away the stone? You see in verse 4 where it says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. It was very great. It was not a small stone. It was very great. But thank God for the divine reality of the resurrection. No matter how great the stone is, the resurrection power pulled it out. It pulled it out of the way. The resurrection power moved it out of its location. No matter how great the stone is, close your eyes for a minute, wherever you're listening to me. Close your eyes for a minute. No matter what the obstacle is, no matter how great the stone is, you know in your heart the promise exists. You know in your heart the power is there, but there is a stone. No matter how big that stone is, I come to declare to you on the authority of the word of God, Jesus, the risen Christ himself, by his resurrection power, we roll away every stone. We roll away every stone. He will give you access to life abundantly like you have never had before. Somebody shout hallelujah. When they looked, they saw the stone was already rolled away. And when they entered into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting by the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid. And he said unto, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My brothers and sisters, fear is the greatest tormentor that the devil has unleashed upon the world. Fear is the biggest enemy of the well-being of man. Many people don't even realize it. A lot of what they are dealing with in their lives has its origin in the fears that they entertained several decades ago. Many people don't understand it, but what actually opened the door into their lives to enable Satan wreak havoc and bring them into a place of torment is fear. People make decisions based on fear. I'm afraid I may die young. They do stuff out of fear. I'm afraid this sickness will kill me. They do things out of fear. I'm afraid this relationship will not last. They do things out of fear. I'm afraid I will not have enough money for retirement. They do things out of fear. That fear is the biggest tormentor that the devil has unleashed upon man. That fear, it is what has put man in prison. That even when the prison doors are open, they can't get out. It's fear. Do you know people are sick because of fear? Sickness hasn't come, but they're already sick. They are sick ahead of time. It's called being sick in advance. Based on fear. But Jesus is releasing you from fear today. Wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice, you are released from every fear. You are released from every fear in the name of Jesus. Part of the divine reality of the resurrection is to set the captives free. Didn't you hear what Jesus said? I came to set the captives. Set them free from what? From bondage of fear. Bondage of fear. They were afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified? Do you seek? I want to ask you, do you seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified? Yes. I said, I'm asking you today, do you seek Jesus of Nazareth? Yes. Well, I have good news for you, the man said. He is risen. Yeah. He is risen. Yeah. He is risen. He's no longer here. He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. Woo! Hallelujah! He said, behold the place. Look at the evidence. His reason. Look at the evidence. His reason. You are the evidence of the risen Christ. You are the evidence of the risen Savior. You should go to the world and tell the world, look at the evidence, his reason. Look at the evidence, his reason. Look at the evidence. His reason. His reason. Woo! His reason, but I need you, he said in the next verse. He said in verse 7. He is risen, but I need you to go your way and tell. Go and tell. Oh, Jesus. Oh, go and tell somebody. Oh, go and tell somebody. My brothers and sisters, this is our greatest destiny, is to go and tell somebody that the Savior is risen. He's no longer dead. This is our purpose. This is why we are here, is to go and tell somebody. Tell somebody in the wherever the opportunity shows up. Tell somebody. He's risen. But you know, in order for you to be able to tell somebody, you have to be working actively in the reality of the resurrection. Because if you are not, you will not be bold enough to tell somebody. That means working in the reality of the resurrection. That means even while you are sitting around the grave, you are telling people he's alive. Even when you are carrying a load that you know God wants to take off of you, you are telling people he is alive. I said you are telling people he's alive. While you are walking through the difficult situations of life, you are telling people he's alive. And you are not just saying, because religion just says it. But you believe it. You actually believe it. Do you know Jesus only rebuked these disciples for one reason? Only one reason. Everything else was a demonstration, show and tell. But for one reason he rebuked them. He says there in verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he rebuked them. He upbraided them. Why? Because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. They were like doubting Thomas. I will not believe it until I touch it. I won't believe it until I see it. Well, what is the difference between the one who says, I won't believe it until I see it, until I touch it? What is the difference between that one and the one that doesn't even believe it happened? There is none. There is none whatsoever. The one who says, I don't believe it ever happened, is shut out of the power of God. The one who says, I believe, but I will really believe it when I see it, when I touch it, is also shut out from the power of God. That's why he rebuked them. Your obstacle, the stone that many people are dealing with, is the ability to believe. Somebody say, I believe. Oh, say, I believe. I believe in the reality of the resurrection. No matter what my life is like, no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what is around me, I believe in the resurrection of the risen Christ. I believe in the Savior. He's more real to me than the breath that I breathe. He's more real to me than the food that I eat. He's more real to me than the water that I... Sir, I believe. The Bible says one of the reasons Herod wanted to meet Jesus was he had heard that he did so many miracles, but he had never seen it. So he was happy when they brought Jesus to him because he wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle. Let me ask you, did Jesus perform one miracle before Herod?
No.
I'm asking you. Read your Bible. Did Jesus perform even one miracle before Herod? The answer is no. Why? Did he suddenly lose his ability to work miracles? No. Had he then suddenly lost his power? Why was it Jesus did not prove anything to Herod? Why? See, because the only thing God regards, the only thing God honors in your life and in mine, is faith. God does not regard your curiosity. God is not trying to prove anything to you. God is not trying to show anything. He is God all by himself. Whether you believe or not, it doesn't diminish who he is. It doesn't take away anything. Your refusal to believe is your own problem, not his. Right? He's already God by him. He's a God. He's nothing you do, nothing I do adds to him. Our failure to accept it. Oh, well, just prove it to me. There's nothing to prove. It is already proven.
Yes.
Where is the evidence? Us. Hallelujah. Look at us. Hallelujah. Look at us.
Hallelujah.
He raised us up from the dead. Look at us. We were broken, tormented, lost. Look at us. He gave us life. This is the proof that the Savior is alive. We have no reason to be happy, but look at us. We're really happy. We're very happy. You don't believe we're happy? We're really happy. I'm just telling you right now, we're very happy. So prove to us that you are happy. No, I have nothing to prove. I'm happy, but I'm very happy. Hallelujah! I say hallelujah! Look at the proof. Peace. Peace. You have peace? You have joy? Prove it to me. There's nothing to prove. I have peace. I have joy. Hallelujah. I have peace. I have joy. Hallelujah. There's nothing to prove. The empty grave is the proof that Jesus is alive. I said the empty grave is the proof that Jesus is alive. I want to close this. And I'm wondering if I should close it by going through all these notes that I have written here. Just read them out to you. Or if I should just close it by saying, there's nothing to prove. What do you think? Nothing to prove. That sounds good to me. Hallelujah. That sounds good to me. Nothing to prove. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, just before I tell you nothing to prove. Now, you guys, you're having too much fun. Don't you know in church you need to be serious? Why are you so happy? Hallelujah. Somebody is being delivered from torment right now. Somebody is being set free from depression right now. As you are hearing the people of God laughing, laughter is coming into your abode right now. In the name of Jesus, the backbone of every tormentor is being destroyed over your life. Shout hallelujah if you believe it. Yeah, I don't need to say much. I think we can close right here. Somebody say he's still being led. Oh, hallelujah. Well, okay, over the next few weeks, I'd like to talk to you about divine dunamis. That's where we started the year from. That's where we started the year from. You remember?
Yes.
We started going, trying to talk about divine dunamis, and then suddenly the Lord came, took over our service and said, talk about knowing me first. You remember that?
Yes.
Talk about, this is April. So what I thought we would start preaching in January, we're going to start preaching it in April. Because the Lord wanted us to lay a good foundation. Know me first.
Yes.
Grow in knowing me. Hallelujah. What is that scripture again in 2 Peter, one of our theme scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. What is that scripture? According as his divine power has given unto us all things
that we need for life and godliness through the promise of Him that has knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, so that by these we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Jesus, the Bible says, He never saw corruption. And because Jesus never saw corruption, you won't see corruption. So we'll start talking about divine dunamis as that power, the resurrection power that makes this thing work. Hallelujah. Oh man, I have so much more to say. But I'm still being led by the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet, wave your hands to heaven. Say, thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. I'm closing. Let's close. Say, thank you, God, for the resurrection. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Now, I want you to take it. I want you to take that power, believe in it. I want you to receive the working of that power in your own individual life. Oh, hallelujah, shatalalabaha. Receive it. I'm still being led. While you are standing, receive it. Receive it. Receive it while you are there. Receive it. I thought I'll throw this out to you, but I'm still going to throw it out. I'm still going to throw it out as we get into this. Listen to this. There is no power failure in heaven. The only power failure that exists is down here on earth. That's why Jesus rebuked those disciples for not believing. And so, you know, as we talk about the power of God, I know there are people who scorn. And people say, no, it doesn't happen anymore. You know, God doesn't heal. He does. God still heals. Say, God doesn't get involved in the affairs of men, and He still does. He still does. And I said earlier, religion is expressing belief in God, but living without His manifested power in the areas of our lives. So we don't have religion, we have resurrection. I documented, which I'm going to go over this in the next, as I minister on divine dunamis. But a few years ago, somewhere in 2009, I ministered a message that I titled, Where is the Power? And I did document, I actually brought back some of the in-person, because the workings of the power of God, they have faces and they have names. These are real situations of life that real people, dealt with and experienced and encountered. And I did document a few names and a few situations over the years. These are several years ago, actually. This message was preached in 2009. And when I listed some of these situations, I was saying 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 5 years. So it's quite a while. But as we celebrate the resurrection power of the Lord, that's what Easter is. It is in my spirit, and I believe the Lord, even as I close this, the Lord wants me to put it out to you. The resurrection power is still working. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is still alive. It's still working. And God wants to bring life to every area of your life and every area of my life. There is nothing in our lives that can withhold the expression and manifestation of the power of God. So don't listen to the lie of the enemy. I really want you to believe. When the Lord comes, I don't want you to be one of those He rebukes. So He upbraided them for their hardness of heart because they would not believe. I don't want you to be in that group. The power of God is still at work. In 2009, I talked about 23 years ago. That's at 2009. It was 23 years ago that I was healed of a blood condition. And I cited that, documented that. A blood condition. It's a real life. It's a real face. There's a real name. It's a real human experience to it. 23 years ago from 2009. I think 2009 is probably how many years ago? 13? 12? 12? So, I mean, it's over 30 years ago. There may be a few people here. There may be one or two, I'm not sure, who remember a young woman named Inga. Inga. Inga was under heavy satanic attack. Most nights when Inga went to bed, when she went to sleep, she woke up the following morning with bites all over her body, scratches, internal heat. She'll wake up with all those things. I ministered to Inga personally, and she showed me evidence. She showed me the bites. She showed me the scratches. I saw them with my two eyes. She will go to bed at night and sleep with nobody else in the house, but wake up in the morning with bites. Creatures, spiritual creatures, were sent into her home, invaded her home, and tormented her life. Internal heat. Supernaturally, God delivered Inga. Supernaturally. She was set free completely by the power of God. I documented some of this just because I wanted to mention them in person and say it in person. There are so many more. And the reason I wanted to say them is because some of us knew those people. There was a face, there was a name. There's only one of those people that we never met. I never met that person in person physically. But that person sent a letter into the ministry and described what happened to her because somebody had given to her a devotional. I think it's this restoration devotional. I'm talking years ago, 15 years ago or so. That woman used to live in Beechwood, in the Beechwood area. She's the only one, you remember that woman? She's the only one that I don't remember, because we never met her in person. She came in after, all right? I never met her in person. I don't have a recollection that I ever met her in person. But wrote a letter, a testimony, to share what the Lord did for her in the Beechwood. She lived in Beechwood area. I don't even know. Somebody gave her a devotional. She just read this devotional and believed it and received it and supernaturally got on her life around completely. Completely, yes. Depression, everything. I mean, she talked about, you know, Beechwood is not the kind of place where you live and your house is surrounded by grown grass. Many of you know that. If you live in Beechwood and you don't mow your lawn, they will throw you out. You know that. But you know what? That's what happened to her. From the story she shared, which she wrote, which I recollect. Her life was in total, she used to be extremely, extremely wealthy, she said. Her life just, everything could, but just the word, it was just the word of God. We didn't, I'm telling you, I did not meet this person physically. And the power of God changed that woman's life. Is this same resurrection power? Is this same resurrection power? It has never changed. Tina was labeled a barren woman for many years. 12, thank you. Yeah, I don't remember some of those, but I just, you know. And I remember there was a Mother's Day service. I'm always excited about Mother's Day service. It wasn't even in a pretty room. It was a school. They were not even cushion chairs. They were all iron chairs. And Pastor Tino had finished her ministry. And she ministered like she usually does on Mother's Day. And there was a stirring of the Holy Spirit within me when I come up and wrap up the service,
to call all the women out who needed something. Who needed something immediately. I remember it. Tina was standing there. I mean, some of you are friends with Tina and her husband, Tony. They are lovely people there. I think they're in Georgia now or something. The miracle of God had started working in that woman's life. The full manifestation of it came right there. I don't know how many children they have. Their children are grown. Yeah, grown. Lorna was a woman who battled depression, suicidal thoughts, mental sickness. She was so broken that when I met the family and met the husband and he shared, and she would not even take her medication. She was almost like right just the next step before you go on the street. She's in heaven now. But before she left, God healed Lorna. She was so healed to the point where she went to Bible school, and one day she told me, you know, my philosophy of ministry is different from yours. And I thought, seriously? Well, you know, you don't have any philosophy of ministry. Seriously. She said, you went to Bible school after the Lord healed her. She said, my philosophy of ministry, you know, because they talked, you know, how denominational things were, you know, is different. I said, my dear, when I met you, you didn't have any philosophy of ministry. God healed Lorna. She's in heaven now, but God healed her. And that woman in Beechwood, I never met her in person, but her name is Sharon. I don't know what she looks like. I never saw her in my life. Sharon. Her life was upside down, but by the power of God, her life came together. Who is the candidate for God's miracle today? Your life can come together. Right here as we close this service, it's 1:00 already. God is not limited by anything. That same resurrection power is still at work. It's been a few years now, but you know, year after year, miracles are still happening. Some of them we don't talk about, some of them, yeah, well, but miracles are still happening. Miracle after miracle. Miracle. I mean, we're in 2022, year of divine everything. This year alone, so many miracles have happened already. So many. You can be the next one. I say you can be the next one. God has you marked out for a divine encounter today. Hallelujah. It may be somebody you know, somebody you are in contact with, somebody you have a relationship with, somebody who is far away somewhere. It might be you in person. But I want you to know, God has you marked out for a divine encounter today. That same resurrection power that wrought the miracle of God is still right here today. It's still right here today. I've seen generational yokes destroyed. I can tell you, family after family after family, where they'll describe their family situations, and you can tell their spiritual issues. Deep spiritual roots. I can tell year after year after year. And God has broken and broken. God has the power of God. I'm telling you, every stone that exists is removed by the power of God. But wherever you are, you might be in this room or you might be online, wherever you are. All I'm asking you to do is just believe. Believe that Jesus took your place on the cross. He was the perfect substitute for you. Believe that he was raised up out of the dead, out of the grave by the resurrection power of God. Believe that you've taken his place. The glory and the power of God that he has is available to you. There is nothing too hard for the power of God to do. I just ask you to believe. Not like Thomas. Not like Thomas. I ask you to really believe. To believe it without any physical, natural evidence. But to declare it is so. See, if I hear you say it is so, and there is no physical, natural evidence, I know you believe. That's all I need. I just need you to believe it is so. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It is so. Wherever you are today, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Whatever is ailing you, whatever is hurting your life, whatever is tormenting you, that spirit of torment is not of God. It's not of God. Somebody heard the testimony of Inga and supernaturally got delivered. This morning, I know it. Somebody heard the testimony. I just read it. Inga is not even here. I know she's somewhere. She's somewhere in Cleveland or somewhere. But somebody heard her testimony with her name. They don't know her, but they heard her testimony. Just like we read about the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her, but the Bible put her name there. The woman with the issue of, that was her name. Until the miracle happened. And because of what the Lord did in that woman's life, so many people across the world, through the generations, have received healing from the issue of blood. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And somebody heard the story of Inga this morning. And somebody said, wow, supernaturally? God broke that tormenting spirit? And Inga became a free, I can be free then. Somebody somewhere who nobody even knows. When we get to heaven, we hear their story. Amen. That's the same way God is going to make you a spectacle. Amen. You are a candidate for his glory. Amen. The glory of God will be made manifest in your body. There is nothing in this world order that can withstand the manifestation of the power of God. There is nothing. There is no power failure in heaven. The only power failure that exists right here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's close, church. Let's close. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Somebody might be online this morning who needs to encounter this risen Savior and his power. That power is available to you right where you are today. You will not be an exception to the manifestation of the power of God. This is not religion. We're not just preaching it. It is so. We have experienced it. We have believed it. We have received it. And we have seen it. It is so. And so in the name of Jesus, wherever you are, I curse generational spirits today. That generational spirit that is seeking to torment your life, seeking to put upon you things that the risen Christ already suffered for. In the name of Jesus, I cast those yokes. I cast those yokes from their roots. You lose your hold. You lose your hold. Every evil stone that has been set in front of your destiny to obstruct your shining moment, I command every such stone be removed in the name of Jesus. Be removed in the name of Jesus. Be removed. You are a recipient of the life of God. I don't care what has happened in generations before you. Everything changes when you meet and embrace the power of the risen Christ. There's someone out there who's dying today. And life is being sapped out of you every moment. You can feel your breath shortening every day. But today I speak upon you.
in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the risen Christ, I command resurrection life to come back into you. I command replenishing of your graces, replenishing of your life, replenishing of your strength, replenishing of your blood vessels, replenishing of your cells, replenishing of your nerves, in the name of Jesus. You will not die. You will live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Somebody has hopes and dreams that have been locked away, and it looks like they will never lay hold on them. There's a big stone, big obstacle that's been sitting right there for years, and it looks like there's no way. I declare to you today, on the authority of the word of God, that that stone has been rolled away. That stone has been rolled away. You lay hold on freedom. You lay hold on new hope. You lay hold on new dreams in the name of Jesus. You live. You live. Father, we thank you for miracles. Today will go down in history as a day when God turned it around for you. God turned it around for you supernaturally. You got a testimony today. This service was for you. You got it. 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 If you believe it, go ahead and rejoice and give the Lord praise. Come on, give him a praise in this house. Give him a praise. He deserves it all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise, Lord God. I give you praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Resurrection Sunday, saints. Our Savior is alive. He's risen forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Death could not hold him down. Death could not hold him down. He's risen forever. Shout it out. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.